threecreekschurch.com.
I'm going to choose to not even acknowledge what he said because I might start crying or something. That wasn't prepared. And he did kind of give you like an overview or at least an idea of where we're going today. He had shared that if you're new this week or maybe you've been gone for the last couple of weeks, we are in the book of James. James is the brother of Jesus, and he is writing this to what's known as the diaspora or the scattered believers. We titled our series here at church as Just Do It, which sounds super trendy and cool, but really it's more just for the nature of the book that we're in. You know, in the New Testament, you can find things that are more on theology or history, and while we can certainly find that here in the book of James, it's far more applicable in nature and pointed in its approach to the early Christians and to us today. I've been given like a big chunk of scripture. It really has like 10 messages in one. So I'm going to encourage you guys, even after this, later this week, to go back through and read over some of the verses that I don't expound upon. But for time's sake, Joel had mentioned that we're kind of wrapping up the end of chapter one. And for time's sake, I've really kind of split this into two messages, if you will. They do relate, but we're going to go ahead and tackle the first three verses that I have titled, Know the Word. And then we'll spend some time in the last six verses that is titled, Do the Word. So I'm going to pray. I know that we've been praying a lot, but I think that I need to pray myself. So bow with me and let's pray. God, thank you. I'm so encouraged just standing and worshiping you, Lord, and that this is the body of believers that I get to call my family. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you have placed on my heart, and I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would work individually in my heart and in everyone's hearts, Lord, and you would convict and challenge and encourage as you see fit, Lord, and may we just be willing and have open hands to hear what you want to say. Amen. So I want to start this message first with a little bit of a disclaimer, because I do think that if we're not careful, this could sound a little bit like a self-help talk with the to-do list attached. And here's the funny thing. There's probably a number of you in here that heard me say that and got initially excited, because our culture and our world today is built on this very idea. I mean, you know as well as I do, the podcasts and the books and the businesses that are making millions off of that concept. Self-help with to-do list attached. But the beautiful thing about this passage, really the Bible, but this passage specifically, is that we get to both start and end with the gospel. And the gospel is simply this. It's the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came, he lived the perfect life, he died on a cross and rose again so that we don't have to do any work to earn the love of God. Praise Jesus. We're going to go ahead and read the first three verses, like I said, so you can turn in your Bible to James chapter 1. Just so you know, we always will have Bibles in the back of the room, so if you don't have one, please feel free to snag that on your way out and keep it. That is yours. So we're going to start in James 1, verse 19, which says this. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Have any of you guys worked for $0? I think you probably think that you haven't, but I believe you have, and let me explain. Some of you in here love to landscape and take care of your yard, right? It's like mowing and weeding and all those things. You're going to own it. And then there are others of you that are definitely going to pay to have somebody to come in and do that for you. Or for women, some of us love to paint our nails, and others of us love to go and get our nails done by somebody. Or then there's the crazy people that like doing their own taxes, and I will never understand you. But there are obviously things that we all do in life that maybe others would consider a job. I can think of two jobs that I currently have that I get paid $0 to do. The first one is be a mom. For all the moms in there. And the second is to serve as the director of community groups here at this church. And the only reason I do those things is because I love it. I was also impregnated by my husband, so I have no choice, but I do love it. I would do it 10 times over, right? Because I love my kids and I love the job of being a mom. So back when Joel and I were dating, like this is early on, the first couple of months we were dating, he asked if I wanted to go hunting with him. And I reluctantly agreed with the promise of a fancy date night at the end of the day. And we'll just say that my day started with getting fox pee sprayed all over me. I'm not joking. And it ended with me helping assist him gut the deer in my date night clothes. Like I was dressed up, holding the legs. It was not a pretty picture. So I would honestly say that you would have to pay me money for me to ever want to go and hunt again. But not so for my husband. Like, he loves it. There's something about going out into the woods and sitting in a deer stand that he loves. It doesn't feel like a job to him. And that's kind of my hope with this today. My hope with this message today is to remind you of the love that you have for God, and vice versa, the love that God has for you, and that that is going to compel you into action. James wants to remind us of that as well. He starts this whole section of scripture by saying this, "My dear brothers and sisters." In other translations, he even uses the word "beloved." You want to know why? He wants to remind us that we are loved by God. He's speaking here to Christians. He's saying brothers and sisters. But before you think that the love of God is only reserved to those people that have received the gift of salvation, let me remind you that in 1 John 4, it says that we love because he first loved us. Love is for every person in this entire world if they so receive it. So James wants to remind us of who we are. He has to start with our identity as believers because it's only from our identity that our activity flows. We can't get it flipped around. We're not doing anything, guys, to earn the love of God. We have to start doing things from a love of God. So I want you to hear me say that before we go anywhere else in this message. The first point, though, that James makes here is that he wants us to know the word of God. Look again at verse 21. It says this, "Humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." So before we jump into any form of action, at least as we see action being, he tells us to know God's word. It's God's gift to us. And I love the idea here of God as a gardener, that he literally wants to take God's word and he wants to implant it in our soul and in our heart because he knows that from this comes life and fruit in our lives. Let's take this illustration even a step further and think about gardening. I think you probably all know, just as much as I do, that in order to grow any plant, any garden, it takes time, it takes diligence, faithfulness, and patience. Every spring that rolls around, I get severe spring fever. Like, I am not a dreamer by nature, I promise you, but I walk through Home Depot, and I have the secret garden in mind. Like, I think herb garden, vegetables, flowers. And if you were to come over to my house currently, you would see that I have not accomplished that goal. And it's really for the reason of what I just said. I fail to be faithful, patient, to work hard. Every April rolls around, and like I said, I get spring fever, and I'm impatient to wait until May when the threat of frost has gone. So I plant all the things and then kill half of them when frost hits in April in Ohio, as we know it does. or weeding. Like, I'm so gung-ho to weed early on. I will spend hours out there. And then come midsummer, it looks like a jungle is growing in my backyard. Even something as simple as watering flowers. Like, it's not that hard, but apparently it is to me. And end of the summer, they're all wilted and dead because I've not been faithful to water those plants daily. I hope you're tracking with me how this applies to what I'm saying. Because truly, if you come in here on a Sunday morning and hope and expect to get your 45 minutes of work in, then I sadly think that you are failing to help in the cultivation process that's required in knowing God's word. Guys, knowing God's word takes faithfulness, it takes patience, it takes hard work, even a daily practice. But why does this matter, right? Why does it really matter that we know God's word? Because any type of action in our lives has to start with the knowledge of God's word. It has to. I mean, seriously, how else are we supposed to know how to grow in our lives? How are we supposed to look like Jesus? What commands do we have as believers? It is the only sure foundation and place to go in order for real life change to take place in our lives. So we have to know the word of God. And that's really my first question for you today. Do you know God's word? And if you don't, what is preventing that from happening? What excuses are you and I using in our lives to keep us from knowing God's word? And let me say this too. I think that potentially some of you in here are really intimidated by that question. Whether it's because you didn't grow up in a family that valued the word of God, or you've never really been in a place that has studied God's word, I think that we could get really intimidated by, well, how do I start? How do I know God's word? And I want to encourage you in just a couple of things. First and foremost, man, I want to challenge you and encourage you to dive into one of our community groups. We take a break in the summers, but we start back up in the fall, and that is such an easy, great place for you to dive in with a group of people and knowing God's word. We like to say that we do life together, but we also spend time, a full hour, diving into these message-based guides that are really just opportunities for us to read and study more of the message that's been shared on Sunday. But that would be a really great group of people who would want nothing more than to help partner with you and champion with you of your knowledge of God's word. But I also realize that that doesn't help today, right? Like, we don't have those start back up until the fall. So what does that mean today for those of you that are like, yeah, but how do I start? What do I read? Another thing that I love about our church is that we have said that we are committed to studying the entirety of Scripture. So that doesn't mean that we don't do these cool, trendy series on emotions and all those things. But we take a book like we're in right now. We take James and we say, let's go through all of it. Let's not skip verses. Let's not skip chapters. We're going to study the whole thing. And what would it look like for you in your own time to read the book of James? Don't make it more challenging than it needs to be. It's short enough that you could honestly just read it in one sitting, or you could choose to just read a chapter a day or something like that. And lastly, let me just say this. If that is you, and you're sitting in here and you're like, yeah, I really don't know the Bible, and I have no idea where to start, I can't think of something more that the leadership of our church would love to talk to you about than how to know God's word, truly. And so maybe it means taking a step of faith and reaching out today or this week and saying, hey, I'd love to know what that looks like. We're going to move on to part two of this message, which says this, entitled this, Do the Word of God. So if you guys will turn with me, we're in James 1, we're starting in verse 22. We're going to read the next six verses together. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless as this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Guys, verse 22 couldn't be more clear. It says, do not merely listen to the word, do what it says. James is starting here to show a little bit of his frustration with these early Christians. And honestly, it largely boils down to this, their lack of doing. You know, and it's kind of funny because I just have spent the last 10 minutes or so sharing with you guys that we want to know God's word. And hear me say this. Knowledge is a worthy pursuit. Academia is a high calling, but it just simply cannot stop there. Those who consider themselves religious is what James said. This word religious is not being used in a positive light. And you know what it means? It means those of us who are sitting in here and thinking, yeah, I know God's word. Like, I've known it since I was 3 and became a Christian. I don't just go to church, I serve. I even serve in the kids with the toddlers, which does gain you bonus points, I promise. Thank you. Those are great things, and those are things that you've probably even heard us say, like, hey, I mean, Joel literally just said, like, we need helpers for the kids. This is good stuff, but here's the thing. If that is the only things that you find yourself doing, or you find yourself taking pride in doing those things, I think that this message could potentially be for you. James goes on then to list 3 very practical applications for doing the word of God. And we're going to find the first one in verse 26, which says this. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. At first glance, this command's a little funny to me because I literally just told you, all right, now we're moving into a section of scripture about doing things. And the very first thing that James tells us is to have a life of restraint. Not a lot of doing in that. I think this goes in the face of so much of our culture today, right? It's like our culture is all about activism and finding and sharing our voices. Facebook is really easy to pick on, so I'm going to, because you know as well as I do how much unbridled speech you see scrolling through a newsfeed. And I can see literally some of you nodding your heads, or at least nodding internally, because you know as well as I do how that form of speech often tends to ostracize and harm instead of help and instruct. Actions speak louder than words, right? I became a stay-at-home mom with the birth of my daughter, Cooper, 3 years ago, and I felt like I immediately gained somewhat of a target on my back for at-home sales consultants. And hear me out. If you're one of them, it's getting good. And I would always kind of politely say, like, no, thank you, until I observed my mother-in-law using these miracle cleaning cloths called Norwex. And I promise you, I'm not getting paid a dime to sponsor them up here. But I was in her home watching her use these things, seeing how clean her house was, and it caused me to ask questions. And not then just to ask questions, but to buy the product. And then I hosted a party. And I suckered some of you guys in there to come and buy things. Something I said I was never going to do. But hear me say this. It started in observing the doing, and then it was the words that followed suit. And I wonder how many of us have that flipped. It feels like it's so much easier and quicker to speak and share our opinions, whether that's online or in person. And then I think oftentimes we just hope that our actions are going to follow suit. James is urging us to use restraint. And you want to know why? Because I believe that it's the very people that don't that turn people away from Jesus Christ. The people that talk without any form of action to follow suit. Now, while we're on this topic of restrained speech, what is it then that James calls us to do? What are the actions that we're called to do? And when you think about a follower of Jesus Christ, what are the things that you think of, truly? Maybe it is going to church and praying, or it is abstaining from worldly pursuits, or wearing a WWJD bracelet. I don't know what it is, but I don't think it's what we find here in this passage. Because what we read that James calls us to do is this. Look after orphans and widows in their distress. Of all the things that James could be calling his people into action to do, it's this. When you think of a committed follower of Jesus Christ, do you think of this? I don't, actually. And it breaks my heart, and I think it should break yours as well. The Bible is full of verses and commands on this very thing. I don't want you to think that this is just some isolated verse that we're reading. Spoiler alert, actually later in James, he's going to go on and bring this up again. This is something that is repeated over and over in Scripture. But what's interesting to me is how quickly we like to just bypass it and act like it's more optional than I read it to be. It's so much easier to think when we see a family adopting or fostering children or caring for the poor and the marginalized, wow, those are some really radical Christians. Like, they have been gifted in a way that I have not been. But what's interesting to me is that I don't see any radical superlative placed before this command. This is the call to the Christian life, period. There is no excuse for us as followers of Jesus Christ. Did you know that studies show that there are 500,000 children in foster care system today? There are also around 400,000 churches in America today. So if you were to do the quick math, that would simply mean that if just one person out of every three churches took seriously the call to care for the orphan, we would at least temporarily eradicate the foster care system today. Or let's talk for a second about some of the pro-life conversations that are being had. If those people who are just so passionate about talking about and sharing things about the pro-life issues, if those people were just as passionate about wanting to bring in those children into their very homes, or at least in caring for those moms who make the decision to raise those babies and they give them the care and the help that they need, I think our world would take notice. This doesn't mean, I just talked about how James called us to a life of restraint. That doesn't mean that we're not supposed to speak out against these things or say things about abortion, but it does mean that we also must be willing to act. Guys, this is God's heart. It's to be a people that care about the poor and the oppressed. And you know what happens when we do that? People take notice. There's a second century philosopher named Aristides, who is not a Christian, by the way. He wrote this to Emperor Hadrian in 125 AD about the rise of Christianity and the Roman Emperor. And they said this: they love one another, and from widows they do not turn away their esteem, and they deliver the orphan from him who treats him harshly, and he who has gives to him who has not, without boasting. And when they see a stranger, they take him in their homes, and they rejoice over him as a brother. For they do not call them brethren after the flesh, but brethren after the Spirit and in God. There are found in their writings things which are hard to utter, and difficult for one to narrate, which are not just spoken in words, but also wrought out in deeds. Guys, caring for orphans and widows does not bring salvation, but it does point people to salvation. I'm going to say it one more time. Caring for orphans and widows does not bring about salvation, but it does point people to salvation. And let me share this caveat real quick. I don't think that every single person in this room is called to leave here and go adopt a child. I actually think that could probably do more harm than good. But I do think that we can't escape the call to care for the poor and the oppressed, those that are marginalized and ostracized by our country and by our communities and even by our churches. This might very well be your call to consider adoption and caring for the orphan. But this might be your call to bring in that single mom into the weekly rhythms of your family life. This might be the call to find an organization or a nonprofit who is already doing all of these things and partnering with them, like really partnering with them. I don't know what this means for you, but it does mean something. Again, this is the word of action in our lives, and I really do believe that it is imperative that we act. Lastly, we are told to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Or there's another translation that even says to keep oneself unstained from the world. You probably hear me saying that and think, wow, it's a tall task. Because it is. Like, it's not just a tall task, it's actually an impossible task. If you remember at the very beginning of my message, I shared that the cool thing about this passage of Scripture and really the Bible in its entirety is that we get to both start and end with the gospel. Religion, the kind that James talks about in a very negative light, religion tells this to us. It says, hey, do work. And then you got to keep doing work for me to love you. It would be like me telling my 3-year-old daughter, hey, Cooper, keep those clothes clean that I just washed for you, like for the next 50 years. Yeah, like it's impossible. It would be impossible for 20 minutes, much less 50 years. But here's the beautiful thing about the God that we get to know and have relationship with. He says to us, hey, you can wear my clothes. I'll trade them for yours. And it allows us to walk through the world unashamed because in Christ we've been made clean. And when you do sin, Jesus will gladly clean you up. If you have made the decision to receive the free gift of salvation, it says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your hearts that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It is in confessing that I can't do enough, I can't be enough to earn my way into heaven, but thank Jesus that he did it for me. That's a powerful message. And potentially there are people in here that have never heard that before, or maybe you've heard it 20 times, but you've actually never made that decision before. You have never made the decision to say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus with my whole heart and with my whole life. I can't do it on my own, and I need the free gift of salvation to do that. In just a little bit, we're going to have the prayer team come up onto each side of the stage. They're here every week, and I would just encourage you to talk with them about that and to even potentially pray with them to make that decision. But I also realize that there are a lot of you in here that have made that decision, whether it was a long time ago or even this year. I just threw a whole lot of information at you, and so I'm gonna boil it down for a couple of minutes just with some questions to ask you and see maybe how the Spirit is leading you. First of all, do you know God's word? And if not, what is keeping you from that? What's preventing you from spending time in knowing the Word of God? Potentially today it might be seeking out somebody here at this church and saying, hey, can you keep me accountable in that? Or it might be seeking somebody out and saying, hey, can you help show me how to do that? Can you help me know the word of God? And then how might God be calling you into action? Is it through bridling your speech and having a tight rein on your speech? Like quite literally, it might be deleting social media accounts. Or maybe it's just being mindful of the things that we're saying and making sure that they actually do line up with our actions. And lastly, what is God calling you into and how is he calling you to care for the poor and the marginalized? Maybe this is the first seed that's being planted for you and for your family about considering adopting a child or fostering a child. It might also be caring for that neighbor that lives down the street that you've thought of a handful of times but have never reached out to. Maybe today is the day to do that. Or maybe you're sitting there and you think, yeah, like I want to do that. I want to care for those people. And you're like, I have no idea how. Maybe your prayer today is, hey, Lord, can you show me how? Like I said, if the prayer team can come up right now, if you find yourself needing prayer for any of that or anything beyond that, things that we didn't even talk about this morning, then I would encourage you to utilize the people that are here to pray with you. I don't know if you know this or not, but our prayer team gets here early in the morning before other people show up just to pray over our service and to pray for the people that need prayer today. And at the end of the day, it boils down to this: know the word and do the word.